My name's Tom Goldtooth, and I'm the director of the Indigenous Environmental Network, and it's really good to be over here in the homelands of the Okanagan people over here in what they call British Columbia. And one of the foundations of our Indigenous Environmental Network is to recognize our Aboriginal rights, our Aboriginal lands, and to be able to strengthen our voice as Indigenous peoples in order to respect the sacredness of our relationship to the land, what we call Mother Earth. And about 10 years ago, grassroots peoples from four directions of Turtle Island came together to say no way to toxic and nuclear waste dump in our backyards. But also, as we learned about these issues of toxic and nuclear waste dumping, we soon learned that these governments, industrialized governments and the corporations, had no respect, not only for our native people, but people of color, but also their own white people, that they wanted to use anyone's land to put this dump into. So we also sent a message that, you know, we don't want this in our backyard as Indigenous peoples, but we don't want it in anyone's backyard. So that was the part of the main focus of why we came together over 10 years ago in 1990 on the Navajo Reservation, or Diné lands. And one of our founders of our network is Diné Care, Citizens Against Ruining the Environment, who as grassroots and elder people and youth came together on the Navajo Reservation to say no to an incinerator that was being proposed by their own tribal council. They organized as a community. They brought information. They brought in the environmental organizations to come in, help them with giving them technical information. It was such a success as far as native-based organizing around these issues, something that we haven't done in a long, long time. A lot of our communities do not have information when it comes to whether it's industrialized facility or mining operation or dam or clear-cutting. There's a lot of Western science to this that industry uses in order to confuse us, promising us that they're going to create a buffer zone around an eagle's nest or around a sacred site, telling us that they're going to provide the best of their ecologists and their environmental scientists and engineers to recognize certain areas that we want protected. But we were very distrustful at that. We started to say, as Indigenous peoples, we speak for ourselves around these issues, that we have a lot of our own people that understand Western science, but also recognizing our foundation in our traditional leadership, recognizing what we call now Indigenous knowledge, that's the foundation of who we are, and that we have to recognize that. We have to break down these walls of colonization, decolonize ourselves. That is one of the bases of who we are in our networking. So I'm really glad to be here. There's a lot of people driving in. It's about evening time right now, and we're 2 days away from the conference. And there's a lot of work that volunteers have been doing. We're really, really, really happy to be here in Okanagan Territory. And a lot of their Warrior Society have been helping out here. Their elders and children, families have all been building arbors here, preparing for what some of the organizers are predicting, near 2,000 Indigenous peoples from Canada, Alaska, United States, and Mexico, Central America, South America, who are coming here to talk about issues that are dear to our heart, that concern the survival of this planet, this world, bringing Indigenous knowledge together, a lot of solutions to a lot of the issues that maybe other communities haven't thought about, a lot of sharing. And we're going to really look at strategies around these issues of how unsustainable energy policy is now. You know, that a lot of the policies that Canada and U.S. are developing are at the expense of Indigenous peoples, our health, the environment, the ecosystem. We're also going to look at food systems, food security, the right to food. A lot of development that has taken place has devastated our lands, our waterways, our air, the health of our people. It's unsustainable. Rivers have been dammed. Now we're realizing that a lot of toxins going into the environment are very persistent. They bioaccumulate, they biomagnify. They go into the wildlife, into the fish. Our people that still maintain subsistence culture are disproportionately impacted from our high consumption rate of this, what we call the food of life, the food web. So we're going to address those issues. So, and we're going to talk about other issues from mining, water issues. You know, we're concerned about the water crisis now, the commodification of water, the corporate control of water, privatization of water. These are things that we have to look at as indigenous peoples. How does this whole NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, and the World Trade Organization, and all these trade instruments, how do these impact our right to water, as well as forests, trees? A lot of natural resources are trade commodities under the WTO, and we have to look at that in all these other strategies that we're talking about. They're even talking about patenting and owning life forms itself, the DNA, the building blocks of who we are. So there's a lot of correlation to what we're here to do that involve not only us as indigenous peoples, but also, you know, all people out there in the listening audience, that we have to take back these governments so that democracy prevails. But a democracy that also crosses racial lines, cultural lines, class lines, gender lines. And in our network and in our leadership, we've been involved in what we call fighting, combating environmental racism. We do have partnerships and allies in the non-native environmental movement, the white environmental movement, but we also challenge them. There's racism even in those ranks. They have to address these issues. They have to work in true partnership with our native people that have a lot of answers to these issues. Also, you know, underlining all these issues is colonization and treaty issues, treaty rights. If people want to find out more information about the Indigenous Environmental Network, they can go to our webpage at www.ienearth.org. They can call us on a toll-free number, 1-877-436-1212.
And we are speaking with
Jeanette Armstrong. I'm the director of the Anoucan Center. And the Anoucan Center is the host for the community here in the Penticton Indian Band, Okanagan Nation, that is helping to organize the on the ground here on site. So we're official hosts of the conference this year.
What are some of the major issues that you folks are dealing with here?
Well, the Okanagan Nation is dealing with a number of major issues. The one that's been the most, I guess, prominent has been the protection of the watersheds. The watershed, as you probably know or maybe not know, the South Okanagan area is classified as one of the only arid regions in Canada, which means we already have very little water. What water we do have comes from the mountains, from the snowpack. So all the runoff is really important. So that means that the aquifers in the forest systems in the high mountain country and the alpine levels are really important to protect. Also, because of the warm climate and the nice winters, it's also really good for setting up destination recreation sites, big ski resorts and that kind of activity. So that's become a major problem in not only the Okanagan but in the central interior and in British Columbia. Destination resorts are taking over the tops of the mountains, basically paving them over and making cities on the tops of mountains in really fragile ecosystems and contaminating major aquifers and watershed systems. You can clear cut a mountainside for a ski lift, but it's still a clear cut. It doesn't make any difference whether it's recreation or not. It's still a clear cut and has the same disastrous effect. The Okanagan Nation here has been organizing. In the past couple of years, one of the big ones that they stopped was here in the right here in the Penticton. The three reservations in this area, the two Smilkameens, Upper and Lower Smilkameen, and the Penticton Band fought to stop a large that kind of development in the Apex ski resort area. We're able to put a stop to it in terms of it expanding to the size that it would have expanded, which would have impacted five creek systems, five watersheds, not only for those three bands, but also for the small towns and communities surrounding it. There's a similar issue going on right now in the just north of the Okanagan in our tribal sister territory, is the Shuswap territory called the Sun Peaks. Now that heated up to a point where there were actual arrests last week for Shuswap members and supporters that were blockading and stopping developers from going in over the same kind of development, and it will be a destination resort area. There's also quite a bit of concern regarding toxicities that has begun to arise here in the Okanagan, because the Okanagan is a really good area for orcharding. Soft fruits, the peaches and the apricots and the cherries, all of those soft fruits. Orcharding practice has all of the valley floor is soft fruits orcharding, including apples and pears. So what that means is the tons of pesticides, toxic chemicals that are used in that industry are poured onto the orchards, and they go into the water systems and they leach down into the groundwater and leach down into the lake system. And of course, not only people but animals and, you know, other things depend on that water. So our lakes here are highly toxic. The Okanagan Lake water system is one that Okanagan Nation Alliance has been fighting to try to gain some ground in terms of cleanup of that lake, particularly because of the cities that surround it that are pumping effluents into the lake, but also because of the runoff and the toxicities from the orcharding system. My understanding is that there's a very high rate of birth defects and cancers and other kinds of diseases as a result of those contaminants that are in our lake system. An example is the Okanagan people on the lake system, on the Okanagan lakeside, banned us from eating kikini. The kikini were so contaminated 20 years ago that our people had stopped eating them. And then about maybe 15 years ago, there was a ban that was put on by the Ministry of Environment warning people against eating any fish from the lake that was over 4 pounds because they were so highly contaminated. And that's still the state of affairs as it is now. There's been a really high die-off of the kikini and other fish in the Okanagan Lake system. And so, of course, that's a major, major concern of the Okanagan Nation, because that was one of their traditional food sources, and now we're prevented from accessing that traditional food source. Over and above that is the toxicity that's created that impact. So those are some of the major areas of concern, as well as the deforestation. The deforestation causes much greater impact here in this fragile ecosystem, because it takes 2 or 3 times longer for the forest to repair itself because of the lack of moisture in this area. Foresting issues in areas where there's really dry, arid climates, the foresting must be done in a way which is not going to impact the system as much as clear-cutting does. The Anaukan Center's phone number is 250-493-7181, 250-493-7181, or at our email, enowkin@vipnet.
Okay, so folks, you can stay tuned and listen to the all the issues that are going to be presented here by going to live365.com. And you can search out Earth Cycles, First Nations, or IEN Earth, or this?
Enowkin?
That's Enowkin. All of those will be listed under Alternative in the Live 365 website. That's it. Thanks.